Deuteronomy chapter 34 is the last chapter of the Pentateuch, the last chapter that Patriarch Moses wrote in the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 34, we'll read the first 7 verses. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali and the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah, unto the utmost sea. In the south, in the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Let's ask God's blessing upon our time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to be in your house this evening. We thank you for your word, and we pray that your spirit will speak to us tonight as it goes forth. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In an American history class, some of the first people you'll come into remembrance of will be what we call our founding fathers, a class that most schools don't teach today anymore because they don't want our country to have pride in itself. They don't want patriotism. Nonetheless, so we have our founding fathers, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, and John Quincy Adams, some of the people we learned a long time ago, our early presidents. They're greatly respected for their commitment and their efforts to found our country. And we have pride instilled within us because we believe we are the greatest country in the world. Two greatest men in the ancient history of Israel that they would look up to and put them on the same platform as Washington and those others would be Abraham and Moses. So we're looking here at Moses this evening. Now we're looking at the end of his life, not at the beginning, not at the middle, but at the end of his life. We want to see the death of a faithful servant. Now, death is not a topic that we are very comfortable speaking about today. It's a topic that we like to avoid because it's painful. It's physically painful for the person that's enduring it and will soon die, and it's also emotionally difficult for the family members and loved ones. But as we see Moses here, the death of a faithful servant, he was faithful in his death because he was a faithful servant of God during his life. So how is Moses a faithful servant? Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. The great hall of faith, the Bible tells us how Moses was faithful during his life. As it's briefly summarizing many different people in one chapter, we see he is mentioned here in a few verses. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. It says, By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So we see here his first in his series of difficult choices. Moses was faithful to God in some difficult choices. He refused to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, that's just one short phrase, but you have to think about what exactly it was that Moses was turning his back on and to go the other way. Moses had servants to do whatever he wanted them to do. He also had riches. Being in the palace, he was surrounded by great wealth, and he had a vast store of it himself. He didn't have to work hard. You know, especially when I work in a factory, they all like the office jobs where it's air conditioned, especially when it feels like this at work. It's hot. And they think it's an easy job. I'm sure they have a difficult job as well. But nonetheless, the workers envy them sometimes. And Moses, no doubt, had an extremely easy job. He didn't have to do much. He had it easy. He had royal treatment. He was respected. He was treated in his position. And he also had power. So when he said, I refuse to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter, he was turning his back on all of that. And we will soon see why he did that. Because sin was in Pharaoh's camp. As Moses staying there, if he would have continued to be there, he would have been in sin. And so he wasn't able to do that. And Egypt is always, if you read the Bible and you study it, you find that Egypt is always a type of sin and a type of the world. That's why it was not a good thing when Abraham had to go down to Egypt. It was not a good thing when Isaac went down to Egypt. Egypt is always typified as a bad place to go in the Bible. And so Moses said, I can't stay here because there's sin here. His second difficult choice is in the next verse. It says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's where we understand that Moses could not stay in Pharaoh's court. He could not stay there anymore because he would be enjoying the pleasures of sin. But he says, choosing rather to suffer affliction. Now, leaving the comforts of a palace, I'm not sure many of us, as even Christians, would be willing to do, to make that sacrifice, to have it easy, to having to provide your own food, providing your own welfare, and also for your family. But more than that, of leaving the comfort, look to where he went. It was affliction. He went into slavery, into bondage, where he was ruled by other people. It's difficult when you're in a workplace situation. You have ideas, but your boss says you have to do it another way. That happens from time to time. And it kind of irks you a little bit that you can't have your way. Well, Moses went from always having his way to having people exercise their authority and their influence upon him. It's not easy to live for a master. In fact, that's what work is all about. They give you a paycheck, but then for that period of time during the day, they are your master, and you are the servant. But even more exaggerated would be a slave who has no freedom at all. That's where Moses went to. Then, of course, he saw his own treated spitefully. And that's why his anger flared that one day as he saw an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew. He looked to the left, he looked to the right, and he killed that man because of this suffering affliction that he went through, seeing how his people were treated. So he says, I'll rather choose to suffer affliction and be okay with God than to sin against God and stay where I'm enjoying myself physically. We also see in verse 27, it says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He didn't fear the punishment. As he forsook Egypt, Pharaoh wouldn't take well to this. As Moses said, I can't stay here any longer, that kind of cut to Pharaoh's heart a little bit. That made him upset. It's kind of a slap in the face. Why? Because Moses was adopted into their culture, into their family. He says, I'm going back to where I came from. And Pharaoh would say, we've given you all that you have, your wealth, your clothing, everything that you hold to your name, we have given to you. All that he had from his parents was that ark of bulrushes and then the blanket that he was wrapped in as a little baby. And so his parents, though, had given him a much more greater possession. That was a knowledge of God and a desire to serve God. But as Pharaoh, in Pharaoh's eyes, he says, we've given you all that you have. And also Moses killing an Egyptian, that really upset Pharaoh. He wanted so much so to lay a hold on Moses that he would take his life. And so Moses said, I'm not going to fear the punishment that Pharaoh will put upon me. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Now, as some of us have been saved, or as many will get saved, one of the difficult things about becoming a child of God is that you need to sever some ties. You need to sever your ties with the world. You need to cut some friends off. And that's difficult, because maybe these friends have done some things for you. They've meant a lot to you over the years. They've been there for you when you needed it, but they're not saved. And if you abide with them, you'll be enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season as you spend time with them. Those friends need to be cut off. It's a difficult thing to do. Some of us as Christians, we're saved, but we still have ties to the world. We need to cut them. Moses was not afraid to cut his ties with the world. So we as Christians, much more so, we need to do the same thing. But why did he do all this? What was the reason? It says the reproaches of Christ in verse 26 are greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. It says, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So he saw at one place, here's what Egypt can offer me. Saw the wealth, saw everything, the fame, the power that he could have. And over here, he looked and he saw what God would give to him. He said, I'd rather any day to take what God has to give me and suffering affliction and to see how he'll bless me and work in my life. So Moses, as he was willing to do that, we see God was able to greatly use him. Moses became the faithful servant of God that died as a faithful servant of God. His goal was keeping his eyes on the prize. Have you ever seen a discouraged person before? Somebody that's sad? How is their countenance? They're always looking down. As they walk from place to place, their eyes aren't focused straight ahead. They're looking down at the ground. It's discouraging even to be in that position, to not even be able to hold your head up. It's discouraging when you're in that situation. Discouraged Christians are going to look at the world and what Satan has to offer. But Jesus tells us in Hebrews 12:2, says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And as we look to Jesus, maybe we are discouraged, but he'll give us comfort. See, the rest of that verse tells us why. It says, do for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus knew what he was about to do. He was about to lose his life in a very painful way. And God the Father would have to turn his back upon his only Son. And yet Jesus kept his head up. He's willing to do it for us because he loved us. So he says, look to me. I've been there in those discouraging times. Jesus was as much emotional as we are. He knows what it feels like. He says, look to me. If you're discouraged, look to me if it's getting hard. And keep looking to me. I'm the author, which is the beginning, and the finisher, the ending of your faith. Moses did that. He had his eyes on the prize. He also looked at the prize. Paul described the blessing that he was given to be a preacher of the gospel. He says to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen. Moses saw those same riches that Christ would give to him. And he said, that's the route I want to travel. Although we sometimes can forget it because we don't see it. We're not going to see it in terms of money necessarily. We won't see it in terms of status in society. When we decide to follow God, it may be a rough road to travel. But God has the riches in store. He says, look to me, and then you'll get them when you get to heaven. So Moses had some difficult choices to make. But as he made that decision to lead the people out of Egypt, we see he had a difficult ministry as well. It's about a year ago, I went with Anna to the job fair at the Crawford County Fairgrounds. So you fill out all these applications hoping that you'll get hired. And I was hoping to work for Hordes. Work with pigs, I guess. It wouldn't have bothered me. I kind of wanted to work on a farm somewhere. And so I fill out all these applications. And I filled out one for this place called Lakloki or something. I didn't even know who they were or what they're about. But just filled out an application anyways. Maybe it'll turn out. That wound up being a temp service. I didn't even know it. Acclache is how you pronounce it. I learned that too. And so they eventually got me the job at Baja. And so to see the way the Lord directed me is kind of interesting. If you would have seen Moses' job application, the job that he had to fill, I don't think we'd want it. I think we'd shy away from it. We wouldn't want a sign on that line saying, God, this is what I'll do. Moses, on his job application, it would say, lead 600,000 people out of bondage. That's a lot of people. Think of the biggest church in America, probably First Baptist of Hammond. At least they claim they've had the largest Sunday school in America, one of the biggest churches in the world. They may have 10,000 people there on a Sunday morning. That's a lot of people. And they have a whole staff full of people to lead them, to lead that church. Can you think of 600,000 people? How many more that is, and he was just one man to do that job. That would be extremely difficult, if not impossible, were it not for God. These people get to their description. The number is staggering, but the description of these people: easily disagreeable, sometimes violent, they'll turn on you, they'll wish you were dead, they'll be unloyal, and they'll be wicked. What is the length on this application? How long are you going to have this job? For life. And what's the pay? Well, you'll have enough to eat, and your provisions will be met. That was the job that Moses signed up for. If that was put on our plate before us tonight, how many Christians would be willing to say, God, I'll do it? Isaiah had a difficult ministry as well. He knew right from the get-go he would not see any results. And yet he said, here am I, Lord, send me. And Moses said the same thing. The truth that we learn from this is that true Christianity will not be easy. We heard about this morning what it means to be a true Christian. We can be saved, we can be a believer, but that doesn't make us a Christian. A Christian is, as it was spoken this morning, an imitator of Christ. So you can be saved and not be a Christian. But true Christianity is not going to be easy. That's why the Apostle Paul likens it to warfare. He likens it to a race. How many people like to just go out and run? When I first started for cross country and NFL, remember, 15-minute fun run. Well, after you're done, that's anything but fun. That was miserable. And you get into a race, and you're pushed even harder to excel and to perform. Paul says that's what it's like. He says, I'm pressed. The love of Christ constraineth me. It pushes me. It presses me. True Christianity will do that to us. It's not going to be an easy thing to do. Yeah, Moses said, I'll do it anyways. If you think of the Red Sea, as they were gloriously and triumphantly rescued from the nation of Egypt, they got to that Red Sea, and their minds changed. All of a sudden, they were so happy to follow Moses, this guy who they didn't have any hope in, but he led them out of Egypt through God's power. Then they got to the Red Sea. And then their mind completely changed, and they went against Moses and said, were there not enough graves in Egypt for us to be buried in that you've taken us out here to die? What do you think Moses thought? Whoa, that's 600,000 people strong, though. That's a great force against him. You see, I didn't have much faith in God. That's Exodus 14, and of course, God performs miracles, but it's not until Exodus 15, one chapter later, we find a murmuring in the wilderness of Shur for water. They had just seen God's miracles. What happened to their faith? They wished to die in Egypt. Exodus 17. They were ready to stone Moses. It says they chided with him. They were fierce. They were angry. And they fought verbally with Moses. They were so much so that they wanted to kill him. And they said, did you bring us out here to kill us? Moses had an extremely difficult ministry. If any pastor went through that, that would cause some to say, this just isn't worth it. I'm just not seeing what I want to see from God. And it would seem easy to quit there. But Moses was faithful in his death. He was a faithful servant of God in his life. He didn't give up. Now we move on to his sweet death. Sometimes we need to get a perspective. We make plans for the future. We can't change the past. That's already done. But we can look to the future. What we'll do tomorrow. What we'll do for the next week. What we'll do for the month. And what we'll do for the year. We don't usually make too many plans into 2008. Some of us do. A few things. But do we plan for the next decade? Our lifetime or eternity? Sometimes we need our perspective changed. So often we're looking at the car. So often we're looking at the road. But God says, I want you to get the map out. I want you to see where you're going. You see, you can only see so far until you get the right perspective from a map. And our map is found in the pages of God's Word. It leads us along the path that will get us to the destination where we'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So we need the proper perspective. Some questions that people at the end of their life will ask is, did I complete my life's purpose? one of the basic questions of man, where did I come from? But then why am I here? What is my purpose for living? Basic question of man. People ask themselves that at their death. Did I complete my life's purpose? Well, we that have not died yet, we still have time. We still have time to affect our life's purpose, what God has given us to do. But then also, did we make a difference? Did we make a difference in people's lives and touch them? Because life is not about things. And it's unfortunate that most people don't realize that until they're dead. But life is not about things. Life is about people. It's been said that souls are precious. Jesus is coming soon. Things don't mean much. You certainly can't carry them to heaven with you. And so at death, people ask themselves, did I make a difference in people, in people's lives? Moses was able to say that. And so we see the blessings in his death. He made great efforts in God's work. Like I said, it was a difficult choice to leave the pleasures of sin, to leave that nation of Egypt, forsake it, put it behind you, and don't ever think about it again, and to suffer bondage and cruelty. And then ultimately to lead this people that didn't even want to be led by him at times. He made great efforts in God's work, because that's the only thing that will really matter when we get to the end, is did we do God's work for my life? And so as he led Israel from the land of Egypt all the way through the wilderness to where they can see the promised land off in the distance, we see he did make a great advancement in God's plan for the nation of Israel. So yes, Moses could say, I have made a difference in people's lives and I have completed my life's purpose. We also see one of the blessings that God allowed him to have was that all of his earthly business was taken care of. It's a bitter sting of death of the wicked when they're not able to finish business. They weren't able to say something maybe to their son or daughter that they regret not being able to talk to them. Maybe their family ties have been severed. But we see God here gave Moses a blessed end to his life because his business with people was finished. He tied all the cords that he needed to tie before God bring him home. He's able to finish his responsibilities. His death was forewarned like Hezekiah. And I believe, surely, that Moses could say, I finished my course. I fought a good fight, thank you. I finished my course, and I have kept the faith. So like Paul, Moses can say, I've finished what God has had for me to do. We see that he passed the torch on to Joshua before he passed away. In Deuteronomy 31 and 34, there was a smooth transition that God enabled them to have as the leadership had to change from this one man who meant so much to this next guy named Joshua. God made it a smooth transition. And then if you'll turn to Deuteronomy 31 again. We see in chapter 31, it's in verses 1 through 8 that the torch is passed. And Moses charges Joshua. He says, be strong and of a good courage in verse 7. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. So as the transition is taking place, we see Moses able to finish up business with the nation of Israel. His nation he has led for more than 40 years. 40 years through the wilderness. He gave Joshua and Israel a charge and also gave them a song to be a testimony for them. And so God allowed him to finish his earthly business before he was to die. He also was able to see God's glory. Later there in chapter 31, verses 14 and 15. It says in the end of verse 14, and Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. It says, and the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the temple. Moses got to see God's glory for the last time through this veil of flesh. Think of the interesting part it would have been to see God in such a spectacular way. We like to see fireworks on July 4th. I'd rather see God's presence come down, see it in a fire or in a cloud. That would be exciting. Amen. Moses had seen it many times. Moses knew pretty soon, I will get to see God face to face. That would be exciting. But he got to see God's glory one last time. Then also he died in God's will. There's no greater peace when a child of God dies than to know they're in the center of God's will. This is the most important thing. When you get to death's door, that you know I'm exactly where God wants me in the time appointed for me. For John, it was in a prison cell, John the Baptist. For James, it was in a prison cell. The Apostle John, it was the Isle of Patmos. And for Moses, it was Mount Nebo. How do we know this is God's will? Turn to chapter 32, verse 48. And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, get thee up into this mountain, Abiram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho. So we see right here, this is exactly where God wanted him to go. This was exactly the appointed time that God had for Moses to pass away. Moses died perfectly in God's will. And he was received into God's hand. And as he stepped foot on the heaven's golden shore, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Are those words that we're going to hear when we get there? That's a choice we have to make right now. And then as Moses did pass off the scene, he was a great man. Even to this day, the Jews respect and treat him very highly, this man Moses. You remember in Jesus' day, they said that Moses is our father. They greatly respected him then, and they still do to this day. But man's respect aside, that means very little. God was respecting to Moses. Moses had God's respect. That's why he's listed in Hebrews chapter 11 in the Great Hall of Faith. God had respect to this faithful servant of his. And then his epitaph at the end of this book. Verse 10, there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. They're praising Moses for his life, and he was mourned for 30 days after he passed away. His epitaph was great. It left an impression upon many people's lives. So as we look at this man named Moses, he was a faithful servant of God in his life. And when he completed his life's journey, he was a faithful servant of God in death. He saw God's glory, he saw God's power, he was used mightily of God to do great things. He heard, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And truly his death, as it says in Psalms 116, the death of his saint is precious in the sight of God. So may we be challenged by this man named Moses to be faithful to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the account of Moses and how you've given us so many details of his life. We thank you for the encouragement that it gives us to be faithful. Faithful in life, faithful all the way to the end. We pray that that will be our challenge tonight. In Jesus' name.